Hello, and welcome to the Digging Deeper podcast hosted by forconstructionpros.com. I'm Jonathan, and in this episode, we talk with Paul Jackson, founder and CEO at Method, a process automation tool for growing businesses on QuickBooks and Xero. That's X-E-R-O. A two-time founder, Paul believes that building software with one-size-fits-all mentality is, well, outdated. His goal is to equalize the small business software space with technology that's hyper-personalized to the user's needs. Here's my interview. So, Paul, can you tell me about Method? What is Method and how can Method help construction contractors?
Yeah, sure. We started Method about 13 years ago. We haven't really changed our course since the day one. So day one was, how can we allow small businesses to get personalized workflows for their companies? And so what we do at Method is more than just help construction contractors. We help a wider range of verticals, industries, however you want to call it. But specifically to construction trades, construction contractors, what we see is a lot of detail on tracking jobs. Like once you've gotten a job, there's a lot of attention to making sure the project is on schedule. Costing is super important, especially as businesses scale. Making sure that you're actually making profit on these jobs is very important. Reporting becomes important. So with Method being a software platform for small businesses, we tailor to a lot of industries. We do have templates, like work orders templates that are used by construction trades, which helps with that job tracking. But I think, there's a lot more to software than just tracking jobs. There's a lot of things that happen before a job kicks in. We probably talked today a little bit about this, but we have this thing we call quote to cash, which is this life cycle of when someone's a lead and goes all the way through to actually getting get paid. And the job tracking is only a small portion of that life cycle. And so we help throughout the entire life cycle.
Sure. I'm told you built and sold your first business while living in a bike shed. What can you tell me about that, about back then? And why did you start your own business?
Yeah, I kind of sound like a homeless person like that, don't I?
So many businesses start in a shed in a garage.
It's like a garage, right? Like Steve Jobs at Apple. I'm no Steve Jobs. I was a poor university student. So I'll back up a little bit there. So I was always an entrepreneur. I always liked building things, whatever that thing was. I had businesses throughout my time growing up and right through university. And I was studying for a commerce program, which is like a business finance kind of program. And I remember going to the job interviews. We had to wear a suit and you're talking to other suits. And the interviewer asked me, so where do you want to be in like 5 years? I'm like, wow. I want to be a VP in 5 years. Like that
seems reasonable. Question.
Yeah. I'm like, he's like, no, that's not going to happen. And that just really threw me off. Like what I haven't even started yet. You're already telling me what constraints are. I'm a builder. I don't like this. So that was it. So I did end up graduating, but, I started a business right there and I learned how to code from a really early age. My grandfather had like, just been in love with computers and got me like these computers. And we'd go to England where he was and he would write these like software programs when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I kind of brought that back. I'm like, what if I started a software company for field service? So I spent an extra year up at university. So I delayed my last year for 2 years while I'm trying to start this business up. I had moved into with my girlfriend at the time. And then we had realized that maybe living together in the same bedroom was not a very good idea. And so I looked for what I could afford to rent. By then I was a poor student. I had nothing left. And I had a friend who lived in a house where they kept their bikes in the shed off the kitchen. I'm like, guys, can I give you $200 a month just to live there? And that's where my first company, QXpec, began, in a bike shed.
That's awesome.
Out of the kitchen in Kingston, Ontario, Canada.
That's a great, great story. How did you bring that to Method? How did you get to Method?
Yeah, so that would have been the year 2000, and Method started in 2010. So that first company was called QXpec, Q really standing for QuickBooks. We being me at the time, realized that pretty much every single field service company used QuickBooks. And back then, the focus was more on recurring businesses like landscapers, lawn mowing, pest control, window cleaning. Mm-hmm. So a lot of the recurring businesses, and built up a business that allowed a quote to go to an invoice, invoice being scheduled on a calendar for the actual work to be done, invoice getting paid, and all that going back to QuickBooks again. And that business grew to about 25 people and got acquired by a company called Marathon, which is now WorkWave. And that was back in 2010. And so back to your question, like, how did it all begin to get to Method? So during this time, we're a 25-person bootstrap software company. So software companies aren't supposed to be bootstrapped. And bootstrapped means you don't take venture capital. Like, you fund it yourself. It's really hard to do that. And it caused us to be very smart with everything we did. We did have this one programmer named Pete who was working on our mobile app. We just kept pulling him off the mobile app to work on internal projects. And so when the salespeople recognized that, hey, you know, when I call my customers and it's raining in their area, they pick up. But if it's sunny, they're out working. And so it'd be really cool if there was like an icon next to their name where it was the weather. And so Pete would program that in, and wow, our pickup ratio on phone calls shot up. And this is back in like the 2000s. So when there's a need for a customer to pay their bill online, which wasn't really a thing, Pete built that. And so he allowed us to build this company using our personal needs really efficiently. And so when we sold QXpec to a private equity company in New Jersey, and we're thinking, what next? We said, well, it'd be cool. Would be cool if every small business had a Pete. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like, what would that be? What would that mean? Like, how could we do such a thing where every company can have a custom need and actually have it built into their software so they're more efficient and they can compete against their biggest competitors who are using SAP? And we brainstormed and we came up with what Method is today, which is this platform where small businesses can actually build their own features themselves. Like, they could build their own icon for weather they wanted to, or they could have someone build it for them.
Okay. When you say construction and contractors, is there a segment that you mainly focus on, or are you covering anybody who builds anything?
So we find that the construction trades, like electrical, plumbing, HVAC, are the ones who tend to use us the most.
Okay.
Like, I recently was fortunate enough to have our house built, and worked with lots of construction trades, and definitely saw the same patterns with electrical, plumbing, HVAC that we use in our own software, which is just the ability to send out a quote and have that quote, usually a 50% deposit, usually what we saw. That's what our customers use as well, get that paid. And often the ability for us as homeowners to get payment to the contractor that really wanted to get paid was very difficult. And so I can see why people use Method to help them automate that process. And that's what a lot of the construction trades do.
Yeah, that automation today is got to be top of the line priority for a lot of customer relationship management. Can you talk to me a little bit about what you think the top things construction companies are doing wrong or misunderstand about customer relationship management software?
I'm not sure they're necessarily doing things wrong. Like, it's really just the way the market is for CRM. So first of all, let me say that I can explain what I think CRM is.
Sure.
And then I can talk about what the market is today. So what CRM is for us is that quote to cash cycle. So everything that happens from getting a lead, issuing a quote, getting that deposit, scheduling the work, completing the work, costing the work, getting paid, and then hopefully using the information that you got from that job to make sure that your next quote is more accurate. And that's a cycle. It goes over and over and over again. And so for us, that's what CRM is. It's not just, can I take a lead and convert them to a sale? Can I track conversations? That is also part of CRM, but CRM should be much more than that. It should manage your full quote to cash cycle. So now the market today, as we see it, is there's traditional CRMs. So we're talking the Salesforce.coms, HubSpots that are out there that are really good at just CRM. A lot of it's like sales pipeline management, making sure that your sales opportunity isn't lost, and you have your salespeople following up and making sure that sale is closed and you don't lose the business. And so you have those players. They don't usually integrate with trade software, at least not very deeply, but they do the CRM part quite well. So that's one choice you have with CRM. You also have the choice of more industry-specific software instead, where you have the job tracking, and it might have some very small basic lead management built into it, but it's really mostly a job tracking software. And that's really good, unless you want CRM. So, but yeah, you have those two choices. And the way we see Method enter the market is, well, you can get both. Like you can get your CRM and you can get your basic tracking. They'll take you 80% of the way there. And then that last 20% for companies that feel they do things a little bit different, want something a little custom, you can customize that last 20%, whether it's on the job tracking side or on the CRM side, you can get it customized just to you. And we're not talking like huge like programming costs, like hundreds of thousands of dollars to customize. Like if someone wanted to get a custom estimate form developed so that they put in their prices and all the calculations are done for them, it might be like a $300 customization. Like it's not crazy. It's all just drag and drop, no code. So back to your question, what are people doing wrong today? They probably don't understand the market. So they're probably choosing a CRM thinking it does tracking, or choosing a tracking software and thinking it's doing CRM and not understanding that there's like two different needs that are met. They're probably not recognizing the total cost of software. So you have a price per user is typically what you see charged. But the reality is there's a cost to implement software, whether it's just time or whether you're paying someone to help implement it or you're paying someone to customize it. That is the reality. So what we see people making mistakes in today when it comes to price is not understanding the total cost of implementation and budgeting too little to actually get a software implemented into their company.
What kind of goes into that pricing? Is it just the amount of people using the software at the business, or is it how much you use?
So typically with CRM software and also with job tracking software is a price per seat, as they say, a price per user. Okay. So typically, the more users you have using the software, the more expensive it's going to be. It's not typically priced based on how many work orders you do or how many hours you've booked into a job tracking. That's not typically how we see it priced. You will find that software tends to be a little bit cheaper for the field workers. So they're taking a mobile app out with them and just tracking simply how long jobs are taking, or looking to see where they should go next and tracking that. That usually tends to be a cheaper license than the dispatcher in the office or the estimator who's doing a lot more of the software all day long.
Sure. Well, it's a bigger software platform. It's a lot more power behind it, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw on Twitter, your Twitter, X. Ooh, don't want anybody yelling at me. I saw your X bio, formerly known as Twitter, that states that you believe personalized software brings productivity small businesses need in order to compete and thrive. Many of our contractors work or run in their own business. How do you define small business? And can you elaborate on what you mean by personalized software? I think we talked about it a little bit, but I want to get you to get more into the nitty gritty about it.
Okay. I can try and answer both those questions as smoothly as possible.
Awesome.
Not usually my forte, but I'll try. So quick answer is the way we at Method define small, you have micro, you have small. Micro is 0 to 9 employees. And then small is 10 to 99. And then beyond that, you go to medium at 100. That's just the definition we give. I find the interesting crossover, though, is going from 9 employees to 10 employees. Hmm. Because an owner up to 9 employees can keep a lot of it in their heads. They probably hold on to certain processes. Like they might still be the main estimator at the company when there's 9 employees. The thing that happens when they get to 10 employees is it's chaos. That's when the chaos begins. And if they don't have the ability to delegate some of the things that they were personally doing before to someone else in the company, find the next key person or just the next like standard operating procedure that can be passed off, then things start to fall apart. Okay. Profitability falls apart and the owner no longer loves it as much as they used to. So that's the key part that gets me to the next point, which is the CRM.
Yeah.
So personalization is on workflows. So what we talk about with the workflow is a list of sequential steps. So what are the things that you need to do sequentially in order to complete a task? And like bringing to just maybe personal life is probably a certain workflow that you go through to brush your teeth in the morning. Like I open my closet up with my right hand. I take out my toothbrush. I put it on the counter. I open my left hand with the drawer, take out the toothpaste, so forth and so forth. There's a certain way I do it. It's a routine that I go through. That's probably the same way. And I've never written it down. But if I wanted someone to brush my teeth the way I brush my teeth, I'd have to show them and probably write it down. And in a business, it's the same way. If I'm making an estimate, I'm sending a quote out to a customer, I can't be like, hey, just go give a quote. There's a lot that goes into that. Like, how do you factor in like how many rooms there are in the house? How many, like what's the height of the ceilings? How many line of cords we have to go? What's the driving time? What's the parking situation like there? How's that going to affect our ability to get the jobs done in and out each day? And, sure. And these are all things that are going into the quote. And it's very different from company to company, from industry to industry, and then from micro vertical within those industries. Like you might have an electrical contractor being quite different from an AV contractor when it comes to running wire within the house. And the way that they do their quotes changes. So if you have a key person in the company who's still doing those key workflows and they haven't been able to pass it off, they are now the bottleneck in the company. They're the bottleneck in the company. They're limiting growth. And so that's when, if you can get some personalized software or some personalized flow to get that passed off to somebody else to do it just as well as you did by documenting and automating, then you can grow again.
Can you get like a personalized way to do it project per project? Because, I'm thinking placing concrete for a driveway versus working on that next commercial business downtown is two different estimations.
Yeah, definitely. So those would be separate workflows, right? So there's different ways that you brush your teeth versus brush your hair. And so I would document those separately and figure out which ones you're going to keep doing yourself, which ones you're going to delegate out for someone else to do manually, or which ones you're going to automate and have software do for you. And there's probably hundreds of workflows that you could automate in your company. And it's just not possible to do all of them. So you have to figure out which ones you should do. And there's a few key steps you can go through to figure those out. One is you look for things that are done a lot. So highly repetitive, high frequency workflows. Look for ones that don't require a lot of critical thinking. Those ones should be automated. Look for ones that have the key person doing them. I mean, if you have a low-level person in the company who's doing a lot of repetitive work, maybe it's not a problem. Maybe it's just cheaper to hire another one of those. But it's really a big problem when you have a key person doing it. So you can start looking at those key areas of workflows to figure out which ones you should automate first.
How can you take the efficiencies that you're likely going to find after working through all of that and apply that to like saved cost hours?
Yeah, that's hard to measure, right? Because do you really track like your own time as an owner and figure out like what your time is worth? You should, but if you don't, it's gonna be hard to figure that out. But really, if you are focusing on the highly repetitive, critical thinking pieces that you're doing as an owner, and if you want to do it, write down how long it's taking. And then when you no longer are doing those things, multiply that by your hourly rate. There's your cost savings. But like, but I think that's actually short-sighted even, because I think that the opportunity cost of not doing the higher level things that you can be doing as you grow from 11 to 100 employees, that's the bigger cost. That's a harder thing to measure. I think you know it though. I think you know when you're running a company of 10 people, I've been there. You know when it's chaotic. You know when you are the bottleneck and it doesn't feel good, right? So even if there was no cost savings, even if it was just a break-even exercise, you just wanted to feel in control again, it'd be worth it.
Yeah.
But you know it's worth it because you're now able to scale and make more money.
Yeah. How can a CRM program kind of integrate more with project management software? How does that increase success?
Yeah, and maybe you don't need to. So you can. There's technical ways of integrating your CRM software. You could use an API. So some coder, some geek like me, could go and code the data going back and forth between your project management software and your CRM. There's other no-code tools called Zapier, which you say, if this happens, then put it into that software. Both of those products need to be Zapier friendly, but okay. Zapier is pretty widely accepted. But then there's the question of is it necessary? When you're going through your list of all the workflows that need to automate, is that the one that actually is the most tedious? Think of how many projects that you're bidding on and how many get accepted. If you're only getting like a few projects a year, but there's a lot going on before that in the quote process, but only a few are being accepted, maybe just inputting those separately into software is not worth automating. That's really a personal choice for our listeners, but I would not add extra integration unless it was one of the key areas to automate.
Sure. What kind of choices do you think contractors should be aware of? How do they know that they're making the right choice for their situation? Maybe they're at that 10 to 99 employee world.
Yeah, one is understand the total cost of implementation. So that is find the pricing out of the licenses. Get some kind of an estimate of what it's going to cost internally to implement. Two, see it as an investment, not as a cost. This expense should pay itself off. So don't be too worried about spending a few $1,000s to implement something that is going to make you way more than that in the long run. One thing that probably people don't consider is whether or not it should integrate well with their accounting software. So if it's CRM, you probably want it integrated with your accounting software. Like that's where all your customers are. If you're seeing CRM as a quote to cash lifecycle, you probably want your quotes also in your accounting software as well. But you definitely want your invoices. You definitely want your payments. You don't want to double enter all that. The job tracking software, you may want to connect it to your accounting software, may not. I like the idea of integrating it all together, but some don't. So it's just a matter of consider that at the very least. And then think about using your advisors. So there are, if you're using QuickBooks, which most contractors are, talk to your QuickBooks Pro advisor. If you don't have one, you should have one. It's not very expensive. Ask them what they think, because they might have some really good implementations that they've done in the past that they could help you implement that software for them.
And then before we go, I know we're running out a little bit out of time here. Before I go, I have one final question for you. Where do you see yourself in 5 years?
VP of a suit company. I mean, if the honest question is just more method, we're having so much fun. Like the stage now, we're about 100 employees, and that is the point where it gets fun again. There's the awkward stage, like your teenage years from 40 to 100. 100, okay. It's like, it's good. So we're going to keep doing this for quite a long time. We're really getting in our flow here. So I'll be at the helm.
Awesome. Where can people find more information on Method?
They can go to simply method.me, M-E.
Oh, interesting. Not a com. It's .me.
.me. Me is more personalized. That's who we are. Personalized software.
That's awesome. There's a method to your madness.
There is a method to your madness.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me. Really appreciate it.
And that about does it for this episode. I'd like to thank Paul again for speaking with me, and as always, you for listening. I'm Jonathan, and this has been the Digging Deeper podcast by 4constructionpros.com. You can find this episode and more on Stitcher, Apple Podcast, Megaphone, or your favorite podcast app. Until next time, if you keep listening, we'll keep digging. Bye.